Welcome to Benefit from the Bible teaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. For a printed copy of this sermon and many others, go to BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. God bless your listening. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to some important passages in your holy word, as we try to address the question, are we saved? We pray that you would show us that a common way of thinking is not actually the way to heaven, but show us what your word says in such a clear manner that we are convinced of the truth and rejoicing that heaven is ours through Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Today I want to share a new brochure with you. I'm not sure how many of us today need something like this who are here, but God knows that. I don't. But I want to share it with you, though, and if it's something that you need to hear, may God impact you in a powerful and wonderful way. And if it's not something that you personally need, I pray that I'm equipping you with a resource that you can use to talk with others, and that God would use then his word as contained in this brochure in order to make a wonderful difference in their lives. So you can see I start off at the beginning there in the intro with five different questions. Questions 1 through 4, I'll let you look at those on your own. I think you know the answers already. But going on to number 5, though, the question is, do you believe that when you die, God will welcome you into heaven? And then there's a follow-up there in number 5. If you said yes, why will God welcome you into heaven? 3 options here. He's going to welcome you into heaven because of you, or because of Jesus, or because of both. So what is your answer? Is it you? Is it Jesus? Is it both? Now we go to the inside. You can see that we have a very common way that people believe is the way to heaven up at the top. So you can see the equation there, faith plus works equals heaven. What does that mean? What do I mean by each of those words? Well, first of all, by faith, I mean that those who embrace that equation, they are saying that by faith, I know and I believe certain things about Jesus. When it comes to the works, that means that I trust in my good works, that they will help me to get to heaven. When it comes to heaven, I hope God will welcome me in on the basis of my faith plus my works. That's the meaning of that equation. Now understand, the vast majority of people in the world would embrace that equation, and I think that probably even the vast majority of people who would say, I am a Christian, they would embrace that equation. So why does that make sense? Look at Numbers 4, 5, and 6 here. Since good is rewarded and bad is punished in this life, those factors must also determine our place in eternity. Doesn't it make sense? If we do good now, somebody gives us a pat on the back and says, good job. If we do bad, we might end up getting a fine or maybe end up even in jail. So when we do good, we're rewarded. When we do bad, we're punished. So it would make sense to transfer that thought then to eternity. And if I do good, that means I'll end up in the good place. If I do bad, that means I'll end up in the bad place. I think it's a very logical statement. Number 5, the Bible does include much about Jesus, and it does include much about doing good. Therefore, we might conclude that if we know and believe certain things about Jesus and we try to do good things, it makes sense that God would welcome us into heaven. And then, actually, to very much then support number 4 and 5, think about Christianity in the world, and we think about there being about 2 billion people who claim to be Christians. Understand that the official teaching of over 1 billion, in other words, more than half of all Christian churches in the world, teach that that equation is the way to heaven. They officially teach that faith plus works equals heaven. So many are taught that week in and week out. So when you take all that together, it's not surprising that many people would say that is the way. But we have a problem, though. Going on to the next section, the above information is not true for these biblical reasons. So if I gave you my own opinion why those things weren't true, you shouldn't even listen. But if I can show you from God's word why those things are not true, that should make a really significant difference. So first of all, in number 7, I say, good is not good enough. So going to letter A, we find ourselves in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, and the Bible says, no one, now when it says no one, that means no one, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. So when we have the law before us, the problem is we cannot keep it perfectly. So the law does guide us in what to do, but because we cannot do it perfectly, it shows us that we are sinners. And then in letter B here, I'm getting at this idea that if we choose the following of the law as our way to get to heaven, understand that the Bible teaches then that if we choose that way, there's only one way to go about it, and that is to keep every single thing that God has said perfectly in every way from the beginning of your life all the way to the end. Notice what it says here in Galatians 3. All who rely on observing the law, in other words, by doing the law to get to heaven, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. So the Bible is saying that if you choose that direction, that you're going to do what this says, and that's going to get you to heaven, the Bible is saying you are automatically cursed. Why is that? Notice what it goes on to say. Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. So if we go down that path of getting to heaven based on what we do, we can go down that path. But if we do, though, we have to do everything in here perfectly all the time. What is the problem? No one can do that. So that's why people who choose that path, they are automatically under a curse. And then in number 8, now we have a little different situation here in number 8, because this is where we would logically say, Jesus, yes, he is important. He is a son of God. He did something really, really, really significant. And if I can kind of add in a little bit of my own to what he did, that's got to make it even better, right? Doesn't that make sense? We're holding him really high. He's a really important person. He did some really important things. And then if I can add just a little bit to what he has done, we're going to have even more then. Isn't that how we do math? That when we think about adding one thing to another thing, then we have more. This is the case where we come to what we might call God's math, but it doesn't work like our math. Notice what it says here again in the book of Galatians in chapter 5, verse 4. If we try to add anything to Jesus, we separate ourselves from Jesus. So we don't have more, we have less. Notice what the Bible says. You who are trying to be justified by law. In other words, you're trying to get to heaven by what you do. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated, in other words, separated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. So if we try to take something and add it to what he has done, logically that makes sense, like we would have more, but according to the Bible, by trying to add to Christ, we are pushing Christ away from us, and then we no longer have Christ All we have is the stuff that we tried to do that can never, ever be good enough. In number 9, I know many people would say, oh, yeah, Jesus, he is wonderful. He came down from heaven. He's the Son of God. He lived a wonderful life, and he has set the example for us. So that's why he came. He is our example. He's shown us the way. If we can do what he has done, then we can follow him right to heaven. Is that why he came? To be our example? In a sense, he did, but that is very, very, very secondary. It is not primary at all. Notice here what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. In other words, the Old Testament scriptures, I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So important that we know that he came to be our perfect substitute. We cannot keep everything written in this book, so he came, God in human flesh, he came, and he did, in fact, keep everything in this book. He came to fulfill every bit of it perfectly for us. Mission accomplished. What did he say before he died? It is finished. Yes, he wants us to know that is true. He came to do it. He did it. He finished it for us, for our salvation. Notice in number 10, God sent Jesus to take away our sins and make us holy and righteous in God's sight. See, unless God sees us to be holy and righteous, God is going to say to us, I never knew you, depart from me. So we need God to make us holy and righteous. And how does he do that? Through Jesus Christ. Notice in letter A, we find ourselves in Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. It says, God has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death. Why? To present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. So with the physical body of Jesus, having lived for us, having taken our sins, having taken our punishment, having died on the cross, with all of that, that is the means through which God worked in order to make us holy in his sight. This is a wonderful thing that God has done for us in Christ. Notice in letter B, again, such a clear and important passage. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. Why? To bring you to God. So it's what he did that brings us to God. It's not about what we do. Notice it says he did it once for all, and then the righteous for the unrighteous. Jesus Christ, he is the righteous one, perfectly right in everything. We are the unrighteous ones. Like the Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But yet with Jesus, the Bible says he was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. So he is the righteous one, we are the unrighteous ones, and he did what he did to bring us to God. And then finally, letter C in number 10, we look at Romans chapter 3, part of 21 and then 22. The Bible says, now a righteousness from God. So that's important. You'll see that twice in here, that this righteousness that we need, it comes from God. It doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from the good that we do. It comes from God. But now a righteousness from God apart from law. So many people think if I observe the law, if I do what it says, if I do my best, that's going to help me. That's going to get me to heaven. This is a righteousness apart from law. So now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known. And then it says how we get this righteousness. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So I think with what I've shared here, I think it makes it crystal clear that faith plus works cannot equal heaven. Logically, yes. Biblically, no way. There are many other passages we could have used as well to show that that equation is illegitimate. And I believe that anyone who hangs on to that equation is going to be lost forever. Earlier I said, what is your hope for heaven? Is it about you? Is it about Jesus? Or is it about both? And if you put you, I strongly urge you to change your answer to Jesus. And if you put both, I strongly urge you to change your answer to Jesus. Jesus declared of himself, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. God wants us to know that that's why he sent him. He knows we can't do it. He knows we're sinners. He knows we're helpless. So in great love, he sends his Son in order to take away our sins, in order to open heaven for all who receive Christ as Savior. So now we come to the other equation. This equation agrees with Scripture, and it's similar to the other one, but very different. So faith equals heaven equals works. What do I mean by that? Let's take a look at each word again. So here's the deceptive part. Up above, we have the same three words, faith, works, heaven, as we do in the second equation. However, the definition of each word is different. The kind of faith that we're talking about up on the top is not saving faith. That is knowing something, but that is not trusting in Jesus Christ as Savior. And when it comes to heaven up at the top, there's a hope for heaven. There is wishful thinking toward heaven, but there's no assurance of heaven. And if you buy into that equation, heaven is closed because you have rejected, ultimately, Jesus Christ, who is the only way to heaven. Let's look at the words down at the bottom. So when we talk about faith here, we are talking about a faith that actually unites to Christ, that actually saves from our sins. So with faith in the second equation, I know and believe certain things about Jesus, same as the top one, but notice what is added here. I also trust in him alone as my Savior. Take a look at the upper explanation again, and tell me where the trust is with the upper equation. In works, very good. So can you see the difference there, that when you're buying into the upper equation, you're trusting in what you are doing? When you look at the lower equation, we know that we can't do it, so we are trusting in Jesus Christ. And then when it comes to heaven, notice the change. Up on top it says, I hope God will welcome me. Down below, it says, I know God will welcome me. So up at the top, people are hoping they'll get in because of the good things they have done plus their knowledge about Jesus. Down at the bottom, we know we have heaven because we know we have Christ as our Savior. Very different. Similar, but very different. And then with our works, it's different too. Up at the top, our motivation to do the works is, I better do them because I want to go to heaven and I'm hoping they will help me get to heaven. Notice down at the bottom, we gladly do them in thanksgiving to God because he's given us the gift of heaven. What more wonderful gift could we receive than heaven itself, eternity with God in a most wonderful place? God has given us that gift. We should be jumping for joy. We should be so happy and so excited that we have this wonderful blessing that now we want to do whatever God wants us to do. That becomes our motivation. Let's go on to 14, 15, and 16 here as we look at how the above information, in other words, faith equals heaven equals works, is true as supported with the Bible. First of all, we go to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, so no one's left out here, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So it says nothing about what we do. It's simply talking about Jesus and about whoever is believing in him as Savior, they have eternal life. Eternal life is the same as having heaven in a sense. Number 15, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Grace means that God loves us even though we don't deserve for him to love us. In other words, it's not that we somehow did good and God said, oh, because you did that good thing, now I'm going to love you. That's not true at all. God loves us because he is love. He doesn't love us because we are lovable. Very important to understand that. So again, going back to Ephesians 2, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So none of us can say, hey, I'm going to heaven because of this or that I did. None of us can say that. All we can do is, like St. Paul, we can boast in our Lord Jesus Christ. We can boast about how much God loves us, about what Jesus did for us, about how through him and through him alone we have heaven. All the boasting is about him and what he has done, never about anything that we have done. If we start boasting, we're boasting about our sin. That's nothing to boast about. Let's always boast about the greatness and the goodness of God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, the passage here I like to share that just brings this whole matter clarity would be in number 16, where we come to Romans chapter 3, verse 28. Notice what it says. We maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. So to get to heaven, what do we need? We need to be justified. That's what we must have to get to heaven. How are we justified? We are justified by faith. And that is not plus observing the law, but that is apart from observing the law. So again, you can see how faith equals heaven, and then the joy of heaven makes us want to do good works. I pray that you can see that so clearly, how there's a common way of believing, but yet it simply is not biblically true at all. And then there's a way of believing I just shared, which is more wonderful, and it is fully supported by God's holy word. No matter what we've believed all our lives, God wants us to hang on to what his word says. Let me finish up briefly as you go to the back side of the brochure. We have an assurance of salvation section. So God wants us to be sure that we have the gift of heaven. So the Bible is clear that God desires all to be saved. The Bible is clear that God has provided salvation for everyone. And then God wants us to be certain that we have his gift. So let me share a few passages with you. First of all, we think about baptism. That is the primary way in which God is at work in order to unite us to our Savior to give us the gift of heaven. So the Bible says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. Who do we need for heaven? We need Christ. What does God do in baptism? He clothes us, he wraps us with our Lord Jesus Christ, with the righteousness of God, with the forgiveness of our sins, with all that we need to be right in God's sight. That's all that's going to matter someday when God looks upon us. Are we right in his sight or not? And only through Christ are we right in his sight. Notice in John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Did you notice how we're talking here present tense? Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. So we have it now. We have eternal life right now in Jesus Christ. Are we in heaven? No. But that means we are alive in a second way. We are spiritually alive. We have eternal life even now. So when we finally die in our bodies, the eternal life that we have goes on to be with God and continues to live. And what's negative and bad and sinful, we leave that all behind. Right now, they're together. But when we die, though, we don't have to fear death. Actually, to finally die in Christ is to get this body of death off of our backs, if you will. So right now, we're together in a way that's not so good. Finally, when we die in Christ, then we are separated in a wonderful way. We leave the bad behind, the most wonderful part of us. God takes home to heaven. And then in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11, 12, and 13, the Bible says, "And this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life." Let me go back here for a moment and thinking about the equations. See, when it comes to the top equation, people who believe that equation to be true, they don't say God has given us eternal life. They say we have earned eternal life. We have merited eternal life. But the Bible never speaks in that way. Eternal life is always a gift from God to us through Jesus. So what does it say there? God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. It's that simple. He who has the Son has life. Notice how simple it is going on. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor in a church. It doesn't matter how hard you work to bless your neighbors. It doesn't matter about anything else other than having Christ. So you can do all kinds of other positive, wonderful things, and if you do not have Jesus Christ alone as Savior, you do not have eternal life. But then he gives us great assurance as we go to verse 13. "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God." So I'm hoping and praying that at this very moment, that each of you, and even all who are hearing this sermon, that right at this very moment, you are believing in the name of the Son of God. You are believing in his name and in him alone as Savior. So now I can share this wonderful news with you. So I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants us to know that like the back of our hand. He wants us to be completely certain that no matter what, we have eternal life. Our sins are forgiven. We were baptized into Christ. We're about ready to receive the very body and blood of Christ that he gave and shed to take away our sins. God wants us to know beyond all doubt that we are forgiven, that we are the children of God, that we are saved. So going just a little bit further to finish this up, with the introduction questions, you can look at that section there. These are vital things. So look at what it says in the introduction. Here are the answers to those questions. These things are of vital importance. And then in the next section here, I talk about continuing in God's word. So very important. Jesus said, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So I have the reminder about the daily devotion brochure. That will help you, guide you, encourage you. That's available by our main entrance. And then when we go to the conclusion, if you're not quite sure about what I said today, if you want some more passages that will support that, you could pick up the What is the Way to Heaven brochure. Looks like this. Again, it's available by our main entrance. Now, I shared some of the key passages in this new brochure, but this one has even more when you get into it, showing that the way to heaven is definitely by faith alone. It is not by what we do. And then I have one more brochure, and this is one I've reworked a little bit more recently. It's called Salvation. It's also available by our main entrance, and it's in the form of a quiz. There must be about 20 or 25 blanks to fill in here, but it's a real simple thing, though, where you take an NIV Bible, you look up each verse, and you fill in the blanks. But I think this can be a very effective tool, though, because if I sit down with someone and I simply tell them, this is true, this is true, this is true, or I'm quoting all these Bible passages, I don't think they're really necessarily getting it. It's not like sinking in. If you know someone that doesn't quite know the way to heaven or is not quite sure, I think this can be an important brochure because you give it to them. You make sure they have an NIV Bible, and if you need one to pass on to them, let me know. I'll give you one, pass the Bible on to them, and just encourage them to look up each of the verses, and that way they're seeing it in the Bible for themselves. They're reading it right out of the Bible. They're filling in the blanks. They're having opportunity to think about it, to meditate on it, that God can then work through that word in a powerful way to open their eyes to the truth. May God use these resources to bless them in a wonderful, wonderful way. May God help us to rejoice in our salvation. And if we know someone that isn't sure about heaven, may God move us. May God embolden us to take such resources and kindly share them with others. And all God's people said, Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, give us a try at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma, Ohio. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, study at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. These are other ways to connect with us. Visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. Subscribe to our podcast by searching for Benefit from the Bible. Visit us on Facebook by searching for Bethlehem Lutheran Church Parma. Call us at 440-845-2230. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.